Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you today on this day of celebration, but also on a day when our hearts are heavy and we're grieving. Thank you for the privilege of sharing with you today. In the midst of these dark days of violence here in Falcon Heights, St. Paul, and Minneapolis, and in Louisiana, and in Dallas, we come together to dwell in the Word. Our hearts are heavy as death, deep sorrow, anger, racism, and fear have put us to bed these last few days. And this morning we were woken to hear news of riots and more violence. And our grief, it's visible. I've noticed as we greet one another, there's a pause before we say, "I'm good, how are you?" I'm not good. And I trust perhaps you're not good either. There's raw videos playing on the screens, and it goes over and over in our minds. People are dying, people are hurting. We are hurting as people of God. But now, in the midst of this grief, we do gather here as a community of faith to dwell in the Word, and it's Job we hear. The darkness of our own days is sucked into the Word as Job's story from a land we don't even know holds us in despair. And it is here, dear friends, we should stay. We should dwell in our own suffering and that of our neighbors as a community of faith. The violence in these days has bound us together in suffering and grief. But like Job, many of us know great despair in our individual lives as we receive medical diagnoses, grieve the death of a loved one, suffer injustice, racism, bullying, lose a job, or dwell in deep pain that we won't even talk to another about. I'd like to pause here and invite you to listen to your heart at this moment. And please name aloud or keep silent the suffering, the deep grief in your heart. Pause with me. Listen to your heart. Job would name his suffering came from a loss of character, his family, his property, and his health. Job's response to his overwhelming suffering was to curse the day he was born, to seek darkness in creation rather than light. The righteous man we meet in chapter 3, he's depleted, hopeless, yelling out, "Let there be darkness," and in walk his friends. At the end of chapter 2, we read this. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all these troubles, they met together to go and console and comfort him. They sat with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. They showed up. We have been these friends who show up, and we have received friends who have showed up. When I was recently graduated from college and in my first month at seminary, I received a phone call from my best friend. I barely understood what she said as she cried out, "Come now, he's dead." The circumstances of our friend's death, the angst and the chaos swirled in my head as I drove to Debbie's house. And the prayer on my heart, "Oh God, my heart is aching, and what do I say?" I didn't have words, but I showed up. Just as Debbie showed up 25 days earlier at my mom's funeral. We show up, we listen, and into the darkness of suffering, we shout out, "I am here and I love you. You are loved." Today, we install Pastor Candy to serve with you as pastor of congregation care. And I trust she will shout out, "I am here and you are loved," over and over again, as together you care for one another, listening to joys and dwelling in the laments of our days. This is an intentional focus of your faith community. And it's key to who you are sitting together in the pews here, but also as you walk out into the community. I give thanks for this, for your care of one another, what that says to people as they enter your building, and as you go out to care for your neighbors. Thank you. We know from this week how important it is to show up in the community and shout out, "You are loved." Thank you. Eliphaz, Job's dear, faithful friend, should have stopped with the same shout out. However, he doesn't. And he responds to Job's deep despair by trying to fix it. We do this too, right? When we see suffering, we want to find an answer so that all will be okay. And so Eliphaz seeks to explain the why of Job's suffering. And as we read in chapter 4, the silent, consoling friend of chapter 2 now suggests Job has done something to deserve such suffering. But in the mystery of suffering, with all of its questions, we know that Job did nothing to deserve the suffering. We know this is not true. We know bad things do happen to good people. We cannot fix the suffering of Philando's family and the grieving families of the Dallas police, and most recently, the Minneapolis child who were killed. But we can show up, and we can pray, and speak words of reconciliation, and like Job, bring our lament to God. Job separates himself from his friends, and becomes our teacher, as he faithfully demonstrates his response to suffering. That is, he turns to God, speaking honestly. Like the Psalms, Job's words in chapter 7 are not guarded nor apologetic, but they come out of the anguish and bitterness, as he says, of his spirit. And in these words, we learn how to respond to suffering. What do? We lament. We turn to God. Listen to Psalm 13 as I read it now. And breathe in the lament and the movement to the sustaining presence of God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. The Old Testament blesses us with these laments. An opportunity to turn our suffering to God. Turn to the Old Testament, to the Psalms, as you ponder those sufferings that are in your heart, that are physically a part of your day. In these last few days, Psalm 13, the one I just read, has been prayed over and over as communities of faith have gathered in prayer and emptied out their anger, fear, and pain. And as these communities gathered and poured out their lament, they pointed to the cross, and their suffering was wrapped in God's love and grace. We gather now as a community, and we too look to the cross as we dwell in Job's words of suffering and watch him turn to speak to God. We hear his lament. Our laments, spoken in your heart earlier, and those of this past week, they meet God's love as we too sit at the base of the cross, knowing God weeps with us. Hear this. The suffering and deep grief we named just a few minutes ago is met at the cross, and God hears our cries. This is what we need to hear today. As we dwell in Job, turn to God. Pour out your lament, trusting in God and in one another to show up. At times of deep suffering. And in that show up, we'll know we are loved. You are loved, faithful Redeemer. You are loved.